You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and I am honored to be joined in studio with Lance Lang, who serves as Executive Director of Hope is Alive Ministries, and he's come on to tell us about an important event. Lance, thanks for joining us.
Hey, absolutely, Brian.
Now, tell us about the Night of Hope. When is it? What is it all about?
Absolutely. Night of Hope OKC is coming up again August 14th at 7 o'clock at Quail Springs Baptist Church right here in Oklahoma City. And it is a fun and inspiring, enlightening, educating night to anyone that's impacted by addiction or any type of hurt habit or hang-up or struggle whatsoever. If you need some hope in your life, then you need to be at Night of Hope, Oklahoma City. It's become a really fun and festive atmosphere. When you think about addiction, you think about tough stuff and shame and guilt and remorse, and we really try to flip that on its head and really point people to hope and eventually, inevitably, point people to the true healer, Jesus Christ. And so we are going to have an incredible program in store for people that come. We've got 15 organizations from all across Oklahoma that are going to be represented to help people find the right resources that they might need to overcome any struggle in their lives. But specifically this year, our program is all about families. We are trying to help families find hope. And so we have lined up an incredible speaker by the name of Mike Foster, who is the founder of People of the Second Chance, and he's going to talk about finding your second chance story. And so that's a really key component of our program. But also, we have put together several elements that are specifically going to talk to the family, kind of the family unit, if you will. So we have a video tribute to mothers of addiction, where we have interviewed six mothers from all different walks of life, from all different aspects of addiction. And we're going to interview those ladies and hear from them what it's like to be involved in an addicted home, as well as we're going to have a father-son interview. So a son that's an addict and a father that's a parent of an addict, and look from that angle, as well as an interview with a husband and a wife that have gone through addiction as well. So really all across the gamut, we're going to try to help people connect to someone that is going through something that they've gone through, and then ultimately point them to hope and help.
Well, it sounds fantastic. And to think about the addiction issue facing the church, I mean, there's no more pressing issue that hits right at home. How do people register, or where do they pay to sign up?
Sure, it's a free event. Definitely want people to know it is free. Just come on out. You don't have to bring anything whatsoever. Just come on out. You can register, though, and let us know you're coming at www.nightofhopeokc.com.
We have a story in the Baptist Messenger, the July 16th edition, about this Night of Hope, and we also have it on our website, baptistmessenger.com. Now, this is not the first of this event. Talk about previous years and maybe some of the fruit that God brought about.
Absolutely. So this will be our fifth Night of Hope event we've done, which kind of seems crazy for me to even say. Our third one in Oklahoma City. We had one in Tulsa last year, and then just a few months ago had one in Marlow, Oklahoma, where we saw over 600 people in good old Marlow come out for this event. And from Marlow, just as an example, I know of three people that entered treatment centers directly from that event. So we always say, hey, it's worth it for one, right? We're doing all of our organization, all of our planning, all of our budgeting, and if it helps change one person's life, then it was worth it. And so I know for that event, it was worth it three times over. But we've really seen over the course of the past couple years, dozens and dozens of people find treatment, find recovery, and really pretty cool to see families reconnect and families be able to plug in, because this is a family affliction, if you will. And so it doesn't only affect the addict, but it affects the mother and the grandparents and that whole kind of circle that's around them. And so we've seen families restored, and that's something that we're pretty proud of.
That's awesome, Lance. Well, I would encourage everyone to go to the website, nightofhopeokc.com.
That's right.
And check out all the information. Now, you've spoken at BGCO events. You've partnered with us to bring resources to churches and are going to be doing so more in the days ahead. But for those listening to this right now that may not be familiar with you, or you're briefly, your testimony or how God got you involved on this issue at this time. Could you walk us through that just a little bit, Lance?
Because
I think it's important people know why God put this on your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt about it. So I was raised in a Baptist home. My dad is a Baptist pastor in the state. My grandfather was a Baptist pastor in the state, both prominent men in our communities. And, you know, I was a typical kind of lost pastor's son. Felt a lot of pressure growing up. Dabbled with anything I could possibly get my hands on to find a relief from pressures that I felt or the uncomfortability in my own skin. And unfortunately, about 25 years old, I found prescription pain pills. And that was really what spiraled my life out of control. And I went from handling a few a day as something that I thought might help me get through some work I needed to do or some family stress that I was facing. And the next thing I knew, 3 years later, my life was enveloped in darkness, and I was using 40 to 50 pills a day. And I found myself devastated. I lost everything. You know, lost my family, lost a lot of monetary or material things that don't really matter. But the main thing that I lost was I lost me. I lost my purpose. I lost really what God created me to be. And when I found sobriety on April 27th, 2011, God began to do something dramatically different in my life. He changed my heart. No longer did the former things mean much to me. No longer did 8 to 5 punching a clock trying to earn a lot of money meant anything to me. He changed my heart, and he put this passion and calling inside of me to help other people that were like me. And I didn't really know where it would go, down the road, but I knew that I needed to give back. I knew that I needed to fully surrender my life to him, and kind of like the song says, wherever he leads, I'll go. And that was kind of what I tried to do, and just say yes to whatever opportunity he gave me. And he kind of placed in this vision in my heart to create this ministry that helped people find hope. And it took the mask off addiction and let them know that they're not alone, and that there's someone out there that cares, and that there's a God that loves them right where they are, and that there's a second chance for them.
Amen. Something I love about your ministry and the way you address this, you're very transparent. You, like you said, take the mask off this, because so much of it is hidden and cloaked in darkness, that when it's brought to light, that's when the true hope and healing comes. One thing you do, though, that I would love for you to talk about, was your transformation instantaneous or a work or both? And what are you seeing God do in men and women's lives in that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's for the large majority of people, certainly for me, it was a process. I often say that, you know, we don't become drug addicts overnight, and we certainly don't recover overnight either. Most of the time, at least, I do 100% believe that God can heal us in a moment's notice. I just believe that oftentimes he uses a process of refining us. And although I was certainly ready for a new life on April 27th, it took weeks and months of treatment, of healing, of forgiveness, of me working through what I needed to work through to become hopefully who I am today. And through that process, God just refined me. He broke me over and over and over again. He taught me about who he was, his true nature, showed me the gifts that he had given me, and day by day began to pull me out of the darkness into the light and show me a new life and show me hope. But that was a process that took time. And I try to help guys understand this today in our homes. We have 3 homes where 21 men live in these homes. And we live in those homes because it takes time to overcome these illnesses, these things that we face. And we really do it together. And I think God has provided me an opportunity to host community within our homes and even within these events that help people to realize that they're not alone.
Great point. Something you said reminded me of Dennis Jernigan, who God helped overcome sexual temptation, and he compared it to Lazarus coming out of the grave, where Christ instantaneously brings him back to life, but Lazarus keeps walking toward Christ and taking off the grave clothes. That's right. It was a process. It was instantaneous. It was a miracle. C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape Letters, we see a fictitious dialogue that really deals with temptation. And in it, we see the struggle of a man who in the book is a Christian, and you see the devil's scheming against him, the unseen battle. And I want to read this passage and then let you talk about some tactics that you have found spiritually effective for overcoming addiction. But here's the demons talking. "You will say that these are very small sins, and doubtless, like all young tempters, You are anxious to be able to report spectacular wickedness, but do remember the only thing that matters is the extent to which you separate the man from the enemy. It does not matter how small the sins are, provided that their cumulative effect is to edge the man away from the light and out into the nothing. And when you think about, Lance, addiction and it edging us away from God, what was Lewis getting at, and what is the way back into the light?
Yeah, we've got to shine light in dark places. And whether I'm speaking to students at Falls Creek or I'm speaking to parents that are struggling in the dark or an addict themselves, we have got to shine light in these dark places. And what does light look like? Well, it's non-judgmental. It's guilt-free. It's worthy, or it's giving of grace. It's worthy of second chances. And that's what I believe we must do as believers, as the church, is to accept people where they are, as Jesus accepted so many people right where they were and didn't shy away from them, but ran towards them, ran towards the brokenhearted, ran towards those who most people were running away from. And that's one of the things that I look back on my life and I realize what God did to me. He didn't leave me out to dry. He ran towards me in my brokenness, in my most dark moments. He sought me out, kind of like that lost sheep. He saw me out there on the edge, and he came and he rescued me. And I believe that we must do that as believers. And so as we shine light in dark places, then God begins to work in our hearts and change who we are. And that's one of the other aspects, of, I believe, of finding sobriety is we must surround ourselves with light. And that's why we hold each other accountable. That's why we go to recovery meetings with other people that are light-minded. That's why we attend church. That's why we give back. We surround ourselves with the light, and the light of Christ can overcome anything.
Amen. That's powerful. Well, Hope is Alive Ministry is a nonprofit serving in important ways. And, you know, this addiction umbrella is really broad, you know, and so much of them have a physiological stronghold on people as well. You know, there's the spiritual that we talked about with the Lewis quote, but there's often that chemical addiction. But God is stronger still, and he's shown it in your life, Lance. He has shown it in countless people's lives. So tell us just one more time about the event, the date, and then anything else you'd like to leave us with.
Absolutely.
On your heart.
Well, I want to say a couple of things. Night of Hope is all about light. It's all about positivity. It's all about grace and second chances. And there's 160,000 Oklahomans that are directly in need of treatment for drug and alcohol-related issues in their lives right now as we sit here listening to this or talking through this. So if you think of 160,000 people that need treatment, you can think of the multiplying factors of their families and their loved ones, that these the devastation that they're causing in their communities. And so Night of Hope is all about coming together and realizing that together we're much stronger than we ever can be individually, and that we don't need to be shamed into a corner any longer. We don't need to allow the enemy to put us in this place of guilt and regret and remorse. We can come into the light and together find the true hope, the true healer, and find a second chance. And so I would love for people to come to Night of Hope. Don't feel like if you're walking in that people are going to label you. It is a guilt-free, judgment-free zone. I promise you, from the moment you enter the parking lot, we will attack your hearts with love and grace. And so we will hope to see you August 14th at Quail Springs Baptist Church for Night of Hope.
Thank you. I encourage everyone to go to the BaptistMessenger.com website or to NightOfHopeOKC.com to find out more and get connected. Lance, thanks for sharing your heart and talking about this really growing problem of addiction in this state and how God can work a miracle in anyone's life.
Absolutely.
And pray blessings on your ministry. And let's connect back around and follow the progress of what your ministry is doing.
Would love to do that. Thank you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.